Flocks of two kinds will descend upon the southern Oregon coast this weekend. The flocks of birds are natural and expected, and after 30 years, so are the people who come to see them. This is the weekend of the annual Oregon Shorebird Festival, in fact, the 31st annual such festival. As the name implies, it's a chance for people to see and photograph some of the great variety of birds who inhabit the Oregon coast at this time of year. Two guests to tell us about it. Harv Shubathi is from the festival. He lives in Bandon. Hi, Harv.
How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to have you here. We also have with us Paul Bannock, who's a presenter at the festival. He's a photographer and the author of Owl, A Year in the Life of North American Owls. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
So, Harv, let's start with you. Is there something about this time of year that makes more shorebirds show up or just makes it otherwise attractive to be around them?
Well, actually, this is kind of a peak part of the migration south for the shorebirds. These little guys are flying, thousands of miles each year. They start off in the spring, you head up north, and now they're returning to the warmer climes to spend their winter down in Central and South America. So they're coming through right now, kind of a peak period, and that's what brings a lot of birders to the coast.
South America, how far do some of these birds travel?
Maybe 1,200, 1,500 miles what you commonly see with these guys.
Wow. That is a long trip. And about the festival itself, Harv, how did it get started?
This Cape Arago Audubon Society started 31 years ago. 30, actually. We're going into our 31st on this particular edition. But it was started kind of as a local event, but grew the Oregon birding community is kind of a close-knit group. Word got out about our festival down here, and it's come to draw folks from really all over this state, a little bit from Washington, California as well.
And about how many people tend to show up for the Shorebird Festival?
To be honest, it varies each year, but we've come to expect 100, 120 folks to make an appearance at the festival.
So let's talk about birding both as pastime and as profession. And Paul Bannock, that leads us to you because you actually make a living at doing this. How did the fascination begin for you?
You know, Jeffrey, I've always been fascinated with the natural world and all of the pieces of it, not just birds, but all of the pieces of it. And what I love about birds is the diversity of colors and shapes and behaviors and adaptations to the natural world. And since my passion is the natural world, I've always, and I really want to share that love of the natural world and instill some empathy in people to want to steward it. And owls grab your attention. And I didn't start with owls. I started with the most colorful birds. But what I started to focus on were the birds that represented habitat types. And owls represent every habitat type in North America, save the alpine tundra. And the Shorebird Festival is celebrating both the birds that come here and the Great Migration. And the Great Migrations remind us that the world is a really small place, and there are owls that help tell that story. Owls that use lands here on Oregon and all the way up the Pacific coast and lands in the Arctic. So it's powerful messages like that really grab my attention and made me more and more fascinated with birds and trying to capture them.
Paul Bannock's book, I should remind our listeners, is called Owl, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls, and it actually won the gold medal for the category Animals and Pets in the 21st Annual 2017 Independent Publisher Book Awards by the Independent Publishers Association. He's a guest with Harv Shubathi from the Oregon Shorebird Festival to talk about the festival. Paul's one of the presenters this weekend. 800-838-3760 if you'd like to join the conversation. Share your bird stories. Ask questions about birding at the Oregon coast. 800-838-3760. 610. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Just for a little aside here, while we're talking about owls, Paul, I mean, I have to believe when you talk about it representing habitat types that you got some time in the book with spotted owls.
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time with spotted owls, all three of the subspecies, including the northern spotted owl that lives in Oregon, and the California spotted owl, and the Mexican spotted owl.
So, are there owls that will be present while you're at the Oregon coast this time, or are you going to be diversify just a bit and branch out into other birds?
Well, there will be owls, particularly in the forest lands, just to the east of where the festival will be. It's a little early for some of the owls that come down onto the shores during the winter, but many of the birds that are living alongside the owls, in some cases even helping the owls survive, and in other cases challenging the owls to survive, will be visiting the Oregon coast at that time. But there is a story, and the story is that the birds that visit us every year remind us that we're stewards for these lands that the birds are coming down to now, but also the Arctic lands, in many cases, the Arctic lands, that they rely upon in the summer. And all of these lands are threatened. So by learning more about the individual pieces of that Arctic puzzle that come down to visit us, I think it can help raise awareness of the opportunity and the responsibility we bear. Two owls that, in particular, that oftentimes are living alongside these shorebirds up in the Arctic are the snowy owl and the short-eared owl. And during what are called eruption years, we'll see snowy owls on the Oregon coast and the Washington coast. And most winters, we'll see short-eared owls. Now, when they come down from this vulnerable Arctic tundra landscape, they are then reliant oftentimes upon the public lands in Washington and Oregon, the lands that are in our ownership, and those lands are under threat as well. And the owls remind us that they won't be able to come down if we don't think about both those places. And that applies to the shorebirds that visit as well.
Paul Bannock, obviously one presenter at the festival. Harv Shubathi, can you give us a thumbnail sketch of some of the other major events?
Well, and our other presenter on the first evening is Noah Stricker. I think many Oregon birders, of course, like I said, it's a small community or close community, know Noah. But he's a 31-year-old writer. He's published two books that have been very popular. His most recent one was The Thing with Feathers, about the relationships between birds and humans, and he will have those books on sale. He has a third one coming out, though, and this is the most fascinating one. It'll be coming out next month, unfortunately, so he won't have copies at the festival, although you can pre-order there. But he's done a book called Birding Without Borders. Noah, I think, got some notoriety by taking on the challenge of trying to see half of all the species of birds in the world in a single year's time, by basically traveling across countries, across continents. His target was like 5,000 birds, different species of birds. He actually wound up seeing 6,042. And that's really what his presentation is going to be about. It's going to be focusing on his big year. There'll be a lot of photography as well as stories with regard to the travel. I had the fortune of being part of that for at least a couple of weeks. I met Noah over in Africa in Tanzania, and we birded together over there for a couple of weeks. So I contributed my small part to his 6,042. But that's what his presentation is going to be about. Those are our two major presentations for the weekend.
on the other hand, we have a lot of other activity going on. There's field trips to the Bandon area, to the Coos Bay area. There's also, for those who want to take advantage of it, it costs a little bit more, but there is an opportunity to go offshore on a pelagic trip about 30 miles out to see things like albatross and shearwater, which you wouldn't see necessarily or mostly from the on the land. And also we have a paddle trip for folks who want to basically paddle up the South Slough Estuary. There's a kayak trips available for that. So a variety of different things going on, but certainly people will want to see and take advantage of the presentation that NOAA provides, as well as the second evening on Saturday. You'll get a chance to not only hear from Paul, but he has a wonderful presentation. He's a great photographer, and if you want to see owls in North America, you don't want to miss that.
All right. Yeah, it's good to see that NOAA's back in the area. We had NOAA on the exchange in February of last year when he showed up for the Winter Wings Festival in Klamath Falls. Right now we're talking about the Oregon Shorebird Festival, the Harv Shubathi, and one of the presenters, Paul Bannock. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Amy in Eureka writes, I live in Eureka but have a second home in Port Orford. I love birding the Coos and Curry counties in Oregon. Any idea how much the smoke from the fires will impact the migration and festival, Harv?
I missed that.
She wants to know how much the smoke from the fires might impact migration and or festival.
So far, it hasn't had a major impact as far as the migration south is concerned. Where what we might miss out on a little bit is that we do have some birds that do come up from the south and do make it occasionally on the festival. I'm thinking particularly of elegant terns. Anybody who's from the Brookings or Gold Beach area can tell you that we get some significant numbers in September. We haven't seen that yet this year. Maybe it's a little bit early, but it may also be maybe the impact of the of the fires as well. Hard to say.
Harv, is there a must-see bird, a star bird for the Oregon Shorebird Festival?
But I missed the question again.
Is there a star bird, a must-see
bird? Oh, the star bird. Yeah, there's a couple I think that are definitely worth mentioning for the land-based field trips. One of the birds in particular that will be featured is the western snowy plover. And primarily seen on our Bandon trip. It's federally listed as threatened. We do have some other places that you will see them on the Oregon coast, but one of the more successful breeding areas for the western snowy plover is right here in Bandon, in a state park called China Creek.
Okay. Paul Bannock, I want to ask you about photographing birds. I saw some of the pictures of you taking pictures with these giganto lenses. I wonder how much the changes in technology have helped the process of photographing birds, as in not having to deal with film anymore.
It's a great question. Digital has made it a lot easier to experiment with photography, and it's made you less conscious of how many shots you're not getting. I'll put it this way. When it used to be, when I was photographing with film, I knew exactly how many dollars each shot costed me. So I was somewhat conservative about taking photos, and I think in some ways that held back my art. And with digital photography, the initial investment up front is the expensive part, and once you've made that investment, you can take as many shots as you want. You can forget about that calculation, which encourages us to experiment. You mentioned the fires, and I would say that for a photographer, fire is a mixed blessing in that the smoke can be bothersome if it's really dark, but you're going to see much more brilliant sunsets over the Pacific Ocean, and you have the chance to photograph birds with sunsets in the background. And that would be really interesting for photographers to think about this weekend.
Oh, that's a good way to look on the bright side of things there in a fairly yicky time for the Oregon the Oregon neighborhood generally. Harv Shubathi, I want to ask if over the 31 years of the Oregon Shorebird Festival, if you're noticing changes in who shows up. I mean, are you seeing changes in migration patterns relative to climate change?
You know, to be honest, I will have to say if you look at the entire 31 years, we are seeing fewer in quantity shorebirds and really some of the seabirds as well, those who come in from the sea to breed, although most of that breeding is done. There probably is some effect from the climate. I think basically what it is the food supply is being affected, and that's probably the biggest contributor to that decline.
All right. The Oregon Shorebird Festival starts on Friday, runs into Sunday, based at the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology in Charleston. That's the home base for it, but lots of people ranging far afield to take advantage of the bird situation. Harv Shubathi is one of the festival organizers. Paul Bannock, one of the guests, the author of the book Owl, A Year in the Lives of North American Owls. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.